Back to 2 Corinthians, just kind of where I got the introduction out last week. You know, you see this, probably, I didn't invent this the phrase, but things that are different are not the same. Does that make sense to anybody? Things that are different are not the same, regardless of what an educated person tells you. And as I've said, as we get through this, it doesn't matter if you've got a different version than the King James. Before you get mad and walk out, just stick it out. Just hang on. This may take us a couple more weeks, but I'd like for you to understand where you get your stuff from. Where we get the King James Bible from, that's going to take a while, but we're still working on where the other versions are coming from, and it is important. And I thought of this illustration this morning that as you... You know, where you get your medicine makes a difference, doesn't it? Where you get your painkillers or your heart medicine or whatever you're getting. I mean, I'm not talking about name brand versus generic. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the difference between getting your medicine in the pharmacy as opposed to the drug dealer in the alley. There's a big difference between those two medicines. And probably one of them is very dangerous for your life. The other one may save your life. So listen, that's what I want us to see this morning and however long this is going to take. But things that are different are not the same. But I want to show you through history and time and the scripture that this is nothing new, the Bible correctors. We already see in the book of Corinthians that the dirty dogs are already trying to change the word of God. And it's not anything new. The devil did it. The devil did it in the garden. That's like Genesis 3, guys. The devil is a shifty dude, and he knows how to work this system. And he knows that just a little change here, a little change there, that don't make it. It's no big deal. Yes, it is. Because Jesus said, every jot and tittle, which is a letter about that big. That's a letter, by the way. A jot and a tittle. He says, that's important, and that will not pass away. I mean, heaven and earth are going to pass away before that does. So it's important we understand that things that are different are not the same. We talked a little bit last week about origin, but I want to go ahead and read our text verses again. They're in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. And we'll read those verses again this morning to put everything in text. And then we're going to go to the book of Matthew and read a few things. Because we need to understand what the Lord said. I mean, you want authority? Jesus said so. That takes care of the authority part, right? Right? And so now, verse 2, it says... let's go ahead and read verse 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Now, let's stop right there. Now, hopefully, by the time this is over with, you will see that other versions of the Bible are that, dishonesty. And he said, we're going to renounce them. We're going to call them out, call them wrong, and we're going to point out the problems with them. That's what he said right there. And he said, not walking in craftiness. Now we're going to see that some of these dirty dogs are walking in craftiness. They know how to use and manipulate people, and they're trying to sneak some things. That's craftiness. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Listen, there are many handling the word of God deceitfully. They're changing it. They're doing all sorts of things. But listen, he says, we're not those people. But by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So that's a pretty good audience there that we're going to do and stand on the preserved word of God in the sight of God. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, little g God, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Why do you think that the devil wants to change the Bible? It does confuse a Christian, but listen, to blind a lost person. He said, lest the glorious gospel of God, of Christ, would shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ Jesus' sake. For God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now listen, there's some powerful stuff right there. I just mentioned a guy, you know, Jesus is talking about, and Paul's talking about, the scribes and the Pharisees. They're the scholars of the day, the educated men. The guys that went past sixth grade, you know. These are the guys that have studied languages and think they know everything, as opposed to depending on God. Jesus calls them out on it. And we have, let's just hold your hand here in 2 Corinthians, because I'm going to go back to that. But let's look at Matthew chapter 15. And I think Pastor had mentioned this verse last week. Well, if I could knew where the book of Matthew was at. Trying to hurry. Matthew chapter 15. Now, in Jesus' day, they didn't have the New Testament. He was the New Testament. Amen? Jesus was the New Testament and is the New Testament. But they had already began to manipulate the Word of God, the Hebrew. They had already began to manipulate the Old Testament scripture and prophets. They had began to add to it and make it into what fit them and made them look high and mighty. And Jesus said, look there, let's see where we're going to read. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, the guys there at the top, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of elders? You know that in Catholicism, the tradition of the church has equal validity of the scripture. I mean, and the voice of the Pope, because he speaks ex cathedra, or as the voice of God. There's three sets of authority there. One is the scripture, or their version of it. One is the voice of the Pope, and the other is the tradition of the elders. The tradition of the church. So we don't have to go, we don't have to go very far. We already know before the New Testament even written, they were already having problems with this. And verse 3 said, but he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? So you're putting your tradition in front of God's authority, God's word. For God commanded, saying, listen, here's some Bible correctors. Jesus knew his Bible, and they were already changing the Bible. Jesus said, but for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, well, wait a minute. We got a lot of that today, don't we? But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandments of God of none effect by your tradition. Listen, we have a lot of that. Oh, wait, the next verse, Jesus quotes Isaiah. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah say of you, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines and commandments of men, not God. We're going to see that some of these dirty dogs are still alive today, but they've been going for a while. Now, we talked about Origen. Origen is a 3rd century Greek scholar living in Egypt. Alexandrian, if you hear of Alexandria, Egypt, the Alexandrian text is hogwash. And Origen was one of these guys that wanted to make himself seem holier than thou. So he castrated himself, made himself a eunuch. I don't really see that as making himself holy, maybe stupid, but not holier. And then he wanted acceptance by the whole church, of all the churches, and he wanted to seem smarter than everybody else. Sound like professing themselves wise, they become fools. So he decided that he was going to, well, I'll give you a whole list history lesson. King Ptolemy wanted some versions of the Hebrew text put into Greek because that was the language of the day. So this dirty dog decides to do that. And they wanted six versions of it written, handwritten. And if you see the LXX, that just means 70. So supposedly there were 72 Greek scholars that wrote the Septuagint. The truth is that Origen wrote the Septuagint. And the truth is that when Origen wanted to make himself look like the New Testament writers were quoting himself, he would put a quote in the Septuagint from a New Testament writer. So it looked like that they were quoting him. So when they got the Old Testament out, the Septuagint, it must be right because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're quoting this, so it must be right. The truth is, they weren't quoting Origen. Origen was putting their quotes in his Old Testament, so it looked like it was older. Now this is a whole. I had to draw a picture so I don't get confused. Hopefully you don't get confused. So he's using the New Testament of his translation to Greek so that it just looked like they were quoting him. He began to teach works and tradition in addition to Christ. It didn't take long. They were already doing it in Jesus' day. They didn't quit doing it in Jesus because Jesus condemned them. They kept doing it. And why? Because lost men do what lost men do. And so anyway, as these guys are going along, here you have found, and I'm trying to draw this out so I keep it straight in my head. Origen comes along. He's probably taking part in that. And then you have, in 1850, a guy named Tischendorf. Now, Tischendorf, I really didn't have room. I need about five more chalkboards. So where does this Bible correctors come from? Let's go back to this first one. The educated university guys. That's where it starts. And guess what? That's where it still is going. The universities are the most dangerous place for our children to be taught anything. And it didn't start today. It started back here in the scribes and elders. And Origen, the Greek scholar. And then as we get to Tischendorf in 1850, I'll just read you a few things about this guy. This guy, his name was Constantine Tischendorf. That ought to tell you something. He supposedly discovered these two manuscripts, the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus. Now, why was he looking for them? Is because where we get our King James, and we'll talk more about this in the time to come, but we believe that the text that we get our King James is the Textus Receptus. That is the manuscript that the King James is based upon. So, why would he change that? The Textus Receptus had only been used for 1,850 years. And it had been good enough for 1,850 years. I'll tell you what happened. This guy went to college. I'm not against higher education, but this guy went to college to learn that the Bible was fake and that no text could be trusted. That's what the university teachers in Germany were teaching at the time. They were teaching men like Tischendorf that the Bible could not be trusted. This guy did not believe that the Bible was inspired of God. As a matter of fact, this guy right here, who we're going to see is to blame for a lot of things, this guy right here never professed Christ as his Savior. Why would you want to write another Bible if you don't even believe in it? You don't believe it's inspired. You don't believe it's the Word of God. You don't believe, you're not even a Christian. Because I want to have something with my name on it. I'm going to look smarter than everybody else. So I'm going to go looking for the true Word of God because my university professors say I don't have it. Look, my university professor could say he doesn't believe in gravity, but you know, I think I'm probably not going to believe him. If you go jump off a cliff, I guarantee you gravity is going to work every single time. No matter what Professor Fluffyhead says, gravity's real. And no matter what some Bible college tells a man, you can't trust that book. Or we can change whatever we want. That don't make it right. And Tischendorf, here's a lost man. So he goes on his little journey to fix the Word of God, that deceitfully handle the Word of God. And he goes, he's going to scour the world for better manuscripts than they already had. Well, they already had. Yeah, get that? My point is, they already had. So when we get somebody wants to tell you the older manuscripts, look, we already had the Word of God. So he has to go in and find something else. So he goes on his way, and guess, you know, the place that has suppressed the Word of God since day one? It's the Roman Catholic Church. It was in 1401, the English Parliament passed a law that it was illegal for you to possess a piece of paper with any scripture on it. It was illegal for you to quote from memory a verse from the Bible, punishable by burning you at the stake. And that hasn't ever changed through history, not since the Catholics have started. So I preface that saying Tischendorf somehow got permission from the Grand Poopah to go into the basement and the manuscripts, and he found this manuscript, which most believe that's one of Origen's writings. But he wasn't done yet, so he kept on going, and this tells you how good Origen of a translator he was. As Tischendorf then went to a monastery at the base of Mount Sinai, or the so-called Mount Sinai, which, by the way, is not. But anyway, there's a monastery there. And he found in the bottom, down in a wicked room full of skulls and skeletons, piles and piles of skeletons, there was also a trash heap here that the monks were using to start their fires with. And as Tischendorf got all excited and he read one of them and realized that he was reading an ancient manuscript, or so called, he thought, oh my goodness, stop, 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 don't burn anymore. And literally, the guy's a thief, he stole some of them and turned them over to the Tsar of Russia. And the Tsar of Russia came down to Mount Sinai and talked him into giving him the rest of it. So that's how you get the Sinaiticus. And they were in the possession of Russia until Russia went broke and had to sell them to England. And England now has them. But here's a problem. Origen wrote both of them. Hand wrote them. And they disagree in more areas than they agree. That means he's not a very good translator. They don't even agree together, but Tischendorf decided, I found the new revelation. Here we have it. And he began to deceitfully handle the Word of God. Now, I haven't even looked at my notes. Let me make sure I'm not going too far. But again, the Vaticanus, are you going to trust where you got your stuff? Your pharmacist or the guy in the alley? Am I going to trust where I got the new manuscripts from somebody who kills people for having an English Bible, or am I going to trust what I've always had? Are you going to trust what even a monk thought was the garbage? You're going to trust that? They were starting fires with it because they didn't even think it was good, the Catholic monks. They were burning it. Like, I mean, I want us to just think. Common sense, hopefully as we get through this, common sense is going to show us something that you make the decision. As we get to the lineage of guys like this man and guys like John Wycliffe, I want you to see a difference between how they handled the Word of God versus how these guys handled the Word of God. So here we have 31 years later. Now, these are my two favorite dirty dog devils, and I know where they're at. Why? Because I can read my Bible. My Bible tells me where they're at. These two guys, Westcott and Hort, decided that they were going to write a new Greek text. Actually, let me back up. They said they were going to update the majority text. They were going to fix all the boo-boos. Kind of sound familiar? They're still doing it today. Well, we're going to get back to the originals. We're going to get closer to the originals. Really? Show me an original that you're using to get closer to. You don't have one. I don't have one. So I don't have to worry about it. But these two guys decided that they were going to fix the majority text, which is the majority of the manuscripts that we got the Textus Receptus from. In the end, they rewrote the entire thing. They did not use less than 1% of the majority of manuscripts ever found were used by these guys. The majority text, which we use. These guys, less than 1%. And they wrote a new Greek text in 1881. And guess what? Within the year, the revised version came out. Now, you may have the RV, the ASV, all those. Yeah, all those Vs come after that. They all come after this, out of this. Now, let me back up and tell you about these two guys. Because I want you to be able to compare apples to oranges. Comparing the King James men and where you got your stuff from. Oh, Brooke Westcott was an Anglican bishop. Fenton Hort was also an ordained priest. And they began to write their new Greek version based upon what Tischendorf had found in the garbage. That's how they got their new Greek text. It was the garbage can or in the Vatican vault. But I'm going to tell you, I could sit here and tell you I don't like these guys, which I don't. But it's easier for you to hear what they said in their own books of their own life when they said that, well, Mr. Westcott, and that's saying his name nicely, he says that according to the book of John, that he never speaks of himself directly as God, that Jesus doesn't. Well, I have a problem with that. They continually will say that Jesus was not even God. I don't believe they were, but I don't believe either one of them were even saved. Now, before we go too much farther, flip over to Revelations. You just got to read this verse so you don't think I'm making this stuff up. In Revelations 22. You go to the end of our Bible, our King James Bible, and the verse 22, chapter 22 and verse 18. Now, I know that you could say this is talking about the book of Revelations or the whole book. It says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." That's pretty plain, isn't it? You know what he said? The words. The very, very words. He said, don't change a word. Don't change a word from it. So, having prefaced that, Mr. Westcott in his book says, "I reject the infallibility of the scriptures." I didn't say it, he did. He said, "I reject it overwhelmingly." Westcott said, "Our Bible, as well as our faith, is a mere compromise." Now, these are the guys that you got all the other versions from. concerning hell. This is interesting because there's a contradiction between these guys. Westcott said, hell is not a place of punishment of guilt, of the guilty. It is a common abode of departed spirits. In other words, we all go to the same place. And this is an educated man, supposedly. I mean, he's an ordained bishop, yet he does not understand Luke chapter 16. We do not go to the same place. Hallelujah. One man opened his eyes in torment begging for a drop of water. And over here, the leper is made clean and taken by the angels into the presence of the Lord. Does that sound like we all go to a common place? Does not to me, does it? Now, we got to get moving. O. Hort said, we have no sure knowledge of future punishment, and the word eternal has a far higher meaning, whatever that means. So neither one of these guys believed in a literal hell. I don't know what they did, where they got their manuscripts, or whether they just didn't believe the word of God, which is true. And then shortly after that, Hort, in one of his book, Life and Letters, he proclaims, he said, talking about another man, he said, I agree with you in thinking it a pity that Maurice verbally repudiates purgatory. The idea of purgation, cleansing by fire, seems to me inseparable from what the Bible teaches us of divine chastisement. Now, he just got done saying he does not believe that there's a place of punishment, and turns right around and says he believes in purgatory. Here we go. Concerning creation, we just went through Genesis. This is what Westcott cited in his book, Which Bible? No one now, listen, he's talking down to you and me. No one now, I suppose, we're talking about in 1880s. I think they still believe the book in 1880. No one now, I suppose, holds the first three chapters of Genesis, for example, give a literal history. In other words, doesn't believe in a literal six-day creation. I could never understand how anyone reading them with open eyes could think they did. Mr. Hort, in his book, says, but the book which has most engaged me is Darwin's. Now, this is the guy writing your new versions. He says, I would prefer Darwin, the books of Darwin, than read Genesis creation. He said, whatever may be thought of it, it is a book that one is to be proud with. My feeling is strong that the theory is unanswerable, the theory of evolution. Now, they didn't believe in the atonement. They don't believe in Christ's blood cleansing me from sin by when I trust and receive Jesus as my Savior. They said this is ludicrous. They literally said that it's ludicrous. The doctrine of substitution is immoral. Hallelujah, it ain't. Hallelujah, we got a God who loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. So in other words, in order for them to fix that, they believe that when Christ died, he died to pay a ransom to Satan. That he paid Satan for my soul. Wait, Satan never owned it. The atonement was a sacrifice to our Heavenly Father, and Satan ain't him. That's what these guys believed. I mean, I can go on and on. They believed in Mariolatry. They believed in a lot of crazy things. But I want to see who they really were before they got to. And I don't know that we're going to get there all today. I just said they studied and read and believed in Marxism and Darwinism, which actually means communism. These men just wanted to show how smart they were, and guess what? They used a new ox cart. We know how that worked out in David's day. New Greek texts. Well, I went way ahead of myself already, but let's keep going. So they were not even close to the Textus Receptus, which we got our King James Bible from. So they rewrote one, and they changed some things to fit their lifestyle, to fit, you know, make it convenient for them. Because Mr. Westcott was an alcoholic, and he even had his picture on billboards. Literally, they had him back in those days for beer companies. It's amazing. So when he goes to translate sober, he kind of changes that word a little bit, because his son, Westcott's son, said, "My dad had such an affirmation for beer that he drank it every day and a lot of it." This is a guy writing your new Bible. Mr. Hort, his friends said that they knew when he was home. They could walk up to the door, and if they could smell hashish burning, they knew he was home. That's how... He's a dope smoker. They could smell the dope burning, and that's how they knew whether Hort was home. Now, again, I'm trying to paint a picture of where the other versions come from. Who got them there? These guys... Now, this is important, folks, because the Bible says in Luke 6:26, "Woe unto you when men speak well of you." You be careful. When everybody loves you, something's wrong. And when people are persecuting you, maybe you're doing something right. These guys were the founders of the Ghostly Guild. They were literally, these two men and a man named Lightfoot founded the Ghostly Guild. The Ghostly Guild held seances. They used Ouija boards. They believed in all these different things. The Ghostly Guild, they believed in speaking to the dead. Now, these guys are the founders of this in England. Now, they had close ties to a woman named Madame Blavatsky. I didn't have room to write her name down. Madame Blavatsky was the author of the book called The Secret Doctrines. And The Secret Doctrines is the Satanic Bible. And they had close ties to her. Matter of fact, in her books, she quotes them, and she says, "Mr. Westcott is a very well-educated, wonderful man, and I speak very highly of him." How can somebody writing a Bible and somebody writing a Satanic Bible do this? Something's wrong. Do you see? There's something wrong with these guys already. They founded another club called Hermes. The club Hermes is where we get the word hermaphrodite, which means mixed sexes. It means not one or the other, but both, or a combination of. You know, that's kind of what we have in the news today, or we know what's going on in our world if you pay attention at all. Is that a man or is that a woman? And maybe part both. Actually, it's not part both. It's what God made them. They're either a man or a woman, by the way. But these guys started this club of mixed sexes. It's amazing that when they wrote their version of the Bible, that they had to change some of the judgmental language about homosexuality. Some of their letters to each other make some even believe that they were of this persuasion, at least part-time. Again, I'm painting a picture for you. Westcott's dog. So now, how important is Westcott's dog? Westcott's dog was named, if I can say this right, Mephistopheles. That's close enough. Mephistopheles is the name of his dog. But Mephistopheles is a synonym for Satan. And Westcott said, "There's more to that dog than his name. It's a, what did he call it? A symbol." He's a symbol of what? Yeah, probably is a symbol of your Bible. I'm sorry. Theory was that these two manuscripts that they used were so much better shape and well preserved that they must be closer to the originals. That they had been divinely preserved and therefore the more ancient. Now, come on, you and I, let's use some common sense today. Some of you got an old worn out Bible, don't you? I mean, mine's fairly new, but show me. Yeah, there's one. Now, whose would you say is older? Mine or Miss Trudy's? The one that's worn out, written in, worked on, or a brand new one? Why would a brand new Bible be, the oldest one? Does that make sense to anybody? If it's been sitting on the shelf or in a monastery dump and nobody's ever read it because it was garbage, does not make it the oldest manuscript or the better one. It just means it wasn't worth opening. Nobody used it. That's silly, isn't it? The older manuscript theory that these guys use, that this is better, has never been proven. Never accepted. Your King James Bible every time has the older, better manuscripts. These guys want to prove that it's closer to the original date, but it's proven over and over and over that your King James Bible has the earliest manuscripts. You know, here's what I say. If you tell a lie long enough, even you'll believe it. Now we got professors in college, and they really do believe in evolution. Doesn't mean they're smart, but they've been taught it so long and heard it so long and don't have Christ in their life, the lie becomes palatable. To me, I want to spit that nasty thing out. But if you don't have Christ, or you've listened to a lie, listen, if you're listening to a lie long enough, get away from it. You're going to start believing it. But I want to tell you, some will not research anything. They just repeat what they've been taught. Be a Berean. Go search the scriptures and see if it's so. See, what some of the things that I'm telling you about these guys don't fit in scripture, do they? They don't. Some of the things that they believed in. But let me. We got to get going because I want to get to part of this, and we're not. These guys are anti-American. That ought to make your hair stand up. Westcott is quoted. He says, America is an independent nation, is a standing menace to the whole world of civilization. But I have a problem with that because I'm an American. But listen, we sent more missionaries out anywhere in the world, any nation ever. Westcott said, I have a deep hatred for the democracy in all forms. That's their words, not mine. So that doesn't surprise you when they studied communism for 4 years. They desired a new world order. They said it out loud. Listen, they had friends. They referred to evangelical Christians as us as dangerous, perverted, and unsound, confused people. Because I trust the word of God that I already had. I don't need a new one. It doesn't make me dumb. Now, here's the thing, and I want to leave you with this. They knew what they were doing was deceitful. They knew it. You know, even the Greek scholar of the day, John Burgeon, he's quoted as saying that the text, this text right here was completely invented. He said that on the day. We know that because less than 1% of manuscripts support the new Greek text. Less than 1%. That's deceitfully handling the Word of God. So if only 1% are from ancient manuscripts, what's the other 99% from? Somebody's mind of the day? And they had to change some things. Listen, they knew it. They said it out loud. Oh, I got a quote somewhere for you that they knew what they were doing was wrong. They spoke over and over that if we don't do this quickly, we need to pound this out there in the Christian world, get this version, flood it out there as fast as we can. How do you think they wrote it in 1 year and produced the Bible the same year? They got it out there really quick. They said, their own words were, if we don't get this out there quickly, the people, the Christians, will investigate the text, first of all, and realize it's a phony, a fraud. Second of all, if we don't get this out there into the Christians will start looking into who wrote it. And who wrote it are people who believe in seances and homosexuality and drunkenness and drug abuse. they'll figure out. If they, matter of fact, they went back and had their names removed from the charter of the Ghostly Guild because they said that would damage the acceptance of the new Greek text. Yeah, you think? Might. They're having their name removed from paperwork that proves that they are lost men. They said, we must get this out there before men realize, reveal who we are and what our previous associations were. This is the guys, I got to close, that wrote the new Greek text, which produced the revised version the same year. And every other version in the world comes from the new Greek text, which has 1% manuscript evidence to support it. Come on, folks. Regardless of what you're carrying this morning, I want you to think. Just think about, where do I buy my drugs from, the pharmacist or the guy in the alley? I want, hopefully I'll be able to show you the difference. But today, we have complete confusion about which Bible is trustworthy. That's the devil's exact intention. You cannot trust your Bible. We cannot know which one's true. That's the same thing Tischendorf's professors were teaching him in Germany in 1850. The same exact thing. You think the devil is alive and well? Sure he is. What does he want to mess with? The Word of God. I praise the Lord. God's preserved one for me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. Thank you for a Word of God we can trust. Lord, we don't have to question, wonder, or guess which one's right. And Lord, as we study through this and see some differences, Lord, I pray that you give me wisdom to show folks the differences between the origins of their Bible. And then give them wisdom that they might make a choice based upon the evidence, based upon what they've learned. I pray that we just continue, Lord, and not give up yet, that they would keep coming back, that all of us would, that we keep coming back to the Word of God and see what it says, so we know how to correctly handle the Word of God. We not be as others. We not be deceitfully handling it, making it say what we want it to say, or rewriting it to say what we want it to say. But Lord, that we would trust the Word of God preserved perfectly for us in the King James Bible. Thank you for that gift that you've given us from on high. In Christ's name I pray, Lord. Amen. We're dismissed.